Hello and welcome to watching Left, Right and Center, the weekend edition. I'm Vedant Agarwal. Well, the poll battle is heating up both in Maharashtra and Jharkhand, with seat sharing more or less finalized both in Jharkhand as well as in Maharashtra. And in focus, of course, is the caste arithmetic. Well, but the larger questions also, will the Congress cede most ground to its alliance partners after the Haryana drubbing? Is the Congress and the BJP, well, no more the big brothers, and will regional satraps get their fair share as far as alliances are concerned? Well, as far as Jharkhand is concerned, it's a key political battle. The Soren legacy is at stake, certainly, and this as both the camps have now finalized their seat sharing agreement. Well, as we count down to the big battleground states on Left, Right and Center this evening, we ask, with the big battle of alliances, who has the caste edge? First, our big focus on Maharashtra, and joining me on the show this evening, Neeraj Chaudhary, senior journalist. Shehzad Poonawala of the BJP is also with us. Mohan Kumar Mangalam of the Congress. Also, Anish Gawande, national spokesperson of the NCP. Susi Ben Shah, spokesperson of Shiv Sena Shinde faction, is also with us. Thanks very much for being with us on the show this evening. Mohan Kumar Mangalam, let me begin by asking you. There have been lessons, certainly, for the Congress party after the Haryana drubbing. Would you say that the Congress perhaps now needs to give up its big brother attitude and perhaps be more willing in conceding seats and ceding ground to its alliance partners? And as many of your allies in various states had pointed out, that it's time for you to understand that regional satraps, regional parties deserve their fair share, you know, in the alliance arithmetic as well.
So I don't think the Congress has ever taken a big brother attitude with our allies. In fact, even if you look at the Lok Sabha polls before Haryana, and I'm talking in specific to Maharashtra, we gave all what you would consider strong seats for the alliance to the alliance partners, and actually were fighting some of the toughest seats and still ended up doing better than most of our alliance partners. I think every state election is different. And I wouldn't characterize the Haryana loss as a drubbing. You said that in the beginning. I'd say it was a near miss rather. And I think that will have very little to no bearing on Maharashtra. What you're seeing right now, obviously, is tough negotiation between us and our allies.
Yes.
And I think it's just a question of who blinks first. In some ways, we'll probably end up closing on whatever few seats are left to decide on by tonight or tomorrow.
Anish Gawande, come in on this, because, you know, if you look back at 2019 and that historic speech that Sharad Pawar made, many had thought that this was, you know, a survival battle for him, perhaps, but he was instrumental in stitching together the MVA back in 2019. Would you say it's a survival battle yet again for Sharad Pawar's NCP? And what do you have to say on this entire, you know, aspect of the Congress ceding more space to its alliance partners? Would you say that parties like the NCP and, of course, Uddhav Sena, I mean, both of you performed exceedingly well in the Lok Sabha as well, you know, is that important for you to get your fair share as far as the alliance is concerned? And would you, you know, call this poll a survival battle for Sharad Pawar's NCP?
So let me, you know what, Vedant, let me start off with your second question, which is, what is the status with seat sharing? I think I've said this before, coalition politics makes for great television. And what you're seeing unfold is the sort of trials and tribulations of coalition politics, which comes with its ups and downs. I don't think there's a question of anyone ceding space or sort of taking space from anyone else. This is a very well thought out alliance. We've been in government for 2.5 years. We have a common minimum program, and we've sort of sorted out most of the seat sharing negotiations as previously discussed, and you'll see those results soon. As for whether it's a survival battle, I think 8 out of 10 seats means that we're surviving. Yes. And well, and at strike rate, I think it's definitely a shot in the arm for otherwise difficult prospects that were placed before us after the split. I will say, though, that we're not taking this election lightly. This is not something that is a guaranteed sort of victory 2 days after the Lok Sabha election results. Despite that verdict, Pawar Sahib was traveling across the state. He's held incredible number of rallies and sabhas in every single district of the state. And we're taking this as an election that has to be fought incredibly well, but we're confident that we're going to fight hard and we're going to win.
Mm. Though, of course, some seats, of course, particularly those in Marathwada, Western Maharashtra as well, perhaps those were points of contention. But Shehzad Poonawalla, come in on this, because as we speak of, you know, the lessons for the Congress, there are lessons for the BJP certainly as well, isn't it? From the Lok Sabha performance, Maharashtra was certainly a surprise as far as the BJP is concerned, the Mahayuti is concerned, though, of course, Shinde Sena did manage to sort of sail through. But would you say that you went wrong in the Lok Sabha, as far as seat sharing was concerned? And there needs to be some sort of recalibration, perhaps.
Before I open the debate with the points I want to make, let me take a moment and compliment Anish Gawande. This is the first time I'm squaring off against him. But I've seen him on television, and I think he's an excellent spokesperson, even though I oppose him. And I think he has a very, very long future and career in political spokespersonship. So, compliments to you for your excellent job. Now, having said that,
a rare sort of camaraderie, though I must say, especially on the weekends, Shehzad.
I have absolutely no qualms in complimenting. I wanted to actually call him and compliment him, and because he's on the show with me, I'm going to extend that compliment to him now. Having said that, let me tell you, Vedant, we are very clear. We were a few lakh votes behind the Mahavikas Aghadi, and we understand that narratives of fakery did have its kind of impact in the Maharashtra elections. But having said that, look, what are we offering? We are offering V for Vikas. The economy of Maharashtra is 16 lakh crore. Today is 40 lakh crore. Today, Maharashtra is number one in FDI. We are offering V for Virasat. We have changed the names of Osmanabad. We have changed the name of Aurangabad, which they oppose. We have got the Vaghnath back. We are the ones giving the proper respect to Savarkarji or Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj. And I know that Congress will jump on it, but they should realize that they are the ones who oppose the statue of Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj in Karnataka. We are the ones who are talking about welfare. 2.5 crore Ladki Behen have got 4,500 rupees. They will get 2,000-3,000 rupees more. We are the ones who have given 71 lakh toilets. We have given lakhs of people houses. We have delivered on Vikas, welfare, Virasat. On the other hand, what are they talking about? Already the excuses have started. A, it is EVM blaming, whether it's Rashid Alvi or Supriya Shile. Two, it is vote jihad, the kind of politics that Abu Azmi, you heard a statement that he made just 2 days ago about the Muslim community. And thirdly is Vibhajan Alliance. Let me tell you three examples. Just today, we have seen Nana Patole say that Sanjay Raut controls Uddhav Thackeray while the Uddhav Sena person was sitting next to him. On the other hand, Sanjay Raut said, I don't consider Nana Patole to be important. I directly talk to the Congress leadership like Rahul Gandhi. Thirdly, Mr. Uddhav Thackeray has been constantly saying, Mujhe chehra banao. Sharad Pawarji has said, Jayant Patil will be the face. He has openly declared it. Congress party wants to contest 120 seats. Shiv Sena or Uddhav Thackeray Sena is saying we want at least 100 seats. Congress is not ready to concede this. In our alliance, look at the other hand. 90%, 95% of the seat sharing has been done. Fadnavis ji has announced it. They asked us who's our CM face. We have said that we already have.
Before you come to the CM face and the seat sharing, Shehzad, you've made some important points there. And interesting there that you are talking about Vibhajan, because that mostly is a charge against the BJP. But Anish, I have to let you sort of respond quickly to that before I get.
I'm going to quickly come in there first to defend the compliment.
This debate around Virasat is also extremely interesting when it comes to Maharashtra. But go ahead.
But unfortunately, the Virasat promise, and before I continue my point, I want to say thank you very much, Shehzad, for that lovely compliment. And I hope to square off very often in the future. But the Virasat compliment, the Virasat point, like many other points, rings hollow. The Vaghnats that were brought to Satara turned out to not be the actual Vaghnats of Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj and caused a scandal in the state. Yes. When you come and talk about the fact that there has been sort of commentary on our side about the alliance, you forget that there have been senior leaders from the BJP and the Shiv Sena who've gone as far as to say that they feel like vomiting when they sit with Ajit Pawar in the same government. Just today, Chandrashekhar Bavankule, who's the state BJP president, has said that if the BJP does not come to power, then the government in Maharashtra will not receive support from the center. This is absolutely terrifying rhetoric to see in a democracy.
Okay.
What you're witnessing today is unfortunately a complete disregard for a mandate given by the voters. And I'll only end by saying one thing, that this is a government that's a double-engine sarkar at one point and a triple-engine sarkar at the other. And the chaos and confusion within their own alliance is one that stands in front of the voters. 20-second response.
Shehzad, go ahead.
Mr. Gawande, please tell me, Aurangabad, Sambhaji Nagar, do you agree? Osmanabad, Dharashiv, do you agree? Ahmednagar, Aliyanagar, do you agree? NCP, Sharad Pawar has opposed this. Secondly, just today you have seen the statements of Nana Patole and Uddhav Sena against each other, Sanjay Raut against each other. And by the way, can anybody say with categorical thing? BJP is the largest party in this alliance. I'm saying it categorically. Can Congress say it will contest the largest number of seats? It does not have the permission to even say that much. Forget
but just yesterday, the Shiv Sena,
again,
just yesterday the Shiv Sena said that their CM candidate is Eknath Shinde.
There's sort of appeasement on both sides. But Susi Ben Shah, come in on this. Because the other aspect that I'd like to discuss here is the battle for who is the real Sena and who is the real NCP. Has this battle been settled once and for all with the Lok Sabha polls? Or would you say that, you know, that fight for legacy, that fight for who is the real Sena and who is the real NCP is still on? Many would say that battle has been settled after the Lok Sabha polls.
Good evening to all, and I would just like to say this. We have the Dhanush Chabhan. We have the largest number of MLAs, MPs supporting us. Dhanush Chabhan is inherent to Shiv Sena. Shiv Sena cannot be a private property of any one family. You see today on the banners of UBT, who do you see? You see Vandaniya Balasaheb Thakre's photo, Uddhav Thakre's photo, Rashmi Thakre's photo, and now the new son which is coming up. And you see in contrast with our Shiv Sena, the real Shiv Sena, we Eknath Rao Ji Shinde, who has worked from a normal rickshawala to a normal worker, a laborer in a firm, to today become the chief minister of Maharashtra. Today, he has emerged as the most popular face as the CM. Today, the Mahayuti, when the day the elections were announced, the next day, all the three leaders, Eknath Rao Ji Shinde, Adarniya Devendra Fadnavis Ji, and Ajit Dada, took a press conference and showed how in 2.5 years, Maharashtra has progressed, whether it be the welfare schemes, whether it be the infrastructure, whether it be housing for the poor, whether it be the highest investment in FDI. We have increased the GSDP of the state of Maharashtra is up by 7%. We have constantly, seriously worked for the progress of this nation.
Sure.
The only... Let me complete. I've waited nicely for 10-15 minutes. I would also like to say this about the political bickering which is happening for the seat sharing. The rift is wide open. Who's the big brother in the Maha Agadi Bigadi? Till today, they were to come up with a seat sharing 3 days ago. As far as the Mahayuti is concerned, we are a yuti which walks shoulder to shoulder, step to step to form the next government. Even today, if you see the campaign of the BJP, it's all about, it's about positive progress in the state.
Okay.
What is the agenda of the Mahayuti?
Okay, I'll come to that. But Nirja ji, quickly, let me get Nirja ji Shehzad. I'll come to you.
No, lastly,
started
just
the debate
lastly.
Today on a very good note.
One second.
So I expect you to sort of continue that. But Nirja ji, I'll come back to you.
Nirja ji, just a minute.
On this point that Susi Ben Shah made, you know, is the Thakre legacy or perhaps the Sena legacy up for grabs? And also, you know, how do you see this sort of impacting the seat sharing plan finally? Because, of course, like we've discussed earlier as well, Anirja ji, that, you know, it's a real challenge for both alliances to, you know, firm up their seat sharing equations. But this battle for legacy and, you know, this again, the sympathy factor that we've discussed time
that
and again, sympathy for who, sympathy for what, you know, how do you see this entire conundrum?
I think as far as the legacy battle goes for the NCP, that is more or less settled. Ajit Pawar is on the defensive, not such a great position.
Yes.
But as far as the Shiv Sena goes, the strike rate of Eknath Shinde was very good in the Lok Sabha.
Yes.
Even though Uddhav Thakre's Shiv Sena got more seats.
He won seven seats. Shinde won seven seats.
He won seven seats out of the 15 that he contested.
Yes.
And he is now fighting to get a large share of seats. He's, you know, pitching even for 100. He may get up to 80. If he gets 80, 85, that will be very good. From the reports that have appeared in the Maharashtra press, in the meeting that Mr. Fadnavis, Ajit Pawar and Mr. Shinde had with Amit Shah a couple of days ago, they also met today. Amit Shah is believed to have told Mr. Shinde, we made a lot of sacrifices to make you chief minister. Now you should make sacrifices for us to get more seats. And so this tussle is on. It's on in both camps. It's a very natural phenomenon before the seats are finalized. Who gets how many? But certainly Eknath Shinde, they're going into poll battle under the leadership of Eknath Shinde. Of course, he's not been declared as the CM candidate in the future, but even Mr. Fadnavis has conceded that we are going to be fighting under his leadership. So to that extent, yes, you know, and he is making a pitch for the Maratha vote.
Yes.
The Maratha vote gone to the BJP earlier has shifted away. Jarange Patil, who's been pitching for the reservation for the Marathas in the Marathwada area. So that is an area of concern for the BJP. While the OBC consolidation is taking place in favor of the BJP, as happened in Haryana, so Shinde is an important factor on the NDA side, on the Mahayuti side. Doubt about that.
Absolutely. And again, you know, the interesting point that's sort of coming up again is what this chief minister has faced. And Mohan Kumar Mangalam, come in on this. Why not declare Uddhav Thackeray as the chief minister face as a chief minister's candidate? I mean, why this sort of back and forth and sort of, you know, this sparks rumors of rumblings within the alliance? Why not have a chief ministerial candidate as you go into the polls? Mohan Kumar Mangalam, go ahead.
So, you know, I think there are states that are, yes, can you, then there's states that
are, we seem to have a network issue there with Mohan Kumar Mangalam, but Anish, would you like to take that question?
You know, we've had a long tradition in Maharashtra of not announcing a CM face.
Yes.
If you recollect, the CP at one time had more seats
than
Alliance.
And it has worked and not worked.
It's worked. I mean, we came to power a significant number of times, except for two blips in the middle. And I think it's been a formula that works. And I think, particularly in the current political scenario, having a united front where you're giving a policy-driven progressive agenda for the future of Maharashtra is more important than bickering about who's going to become the chief minister.
Okay,
I think government is about continuity and governance is about...
I think I hope you loud and clear, Anish.
Okay, Shehzad seems very agitated. Yes, Shehzad, go ahead.
No, I'm not agitated. We are having a very good debate because this is how people of Maharashtra, we always treat our allies and opponents with same respect. I just want to point out to Mr. Gawande, Sharad Pawar has backed Jayant Patil for CM post, Irks Uddhav Sena and Congress, published in Indian Express. Now, Mr. Gawande, I want to ask you very specifically, was Sharad Pawar wrong in projecting Mr. Jayant Patil as CM? And ask Mohan Kumar Mangalam if he's accepting Mr. Jayant Patil or Mr. Uddhav Thackeray as the CM face, because Uddhav Thackeray also said categorically we want to be CM face. Mr. Jayant Patil has been proposed by Sharad Pawar. Secondly, this is not just specific to this alliance. They have no mission vision. They only have ambition and position ka chakkar. And therefore, every place, even in Jharkhand, they are fighting. In Jammu Kashmir, they are fighting. In Kerala, they are fighting.
There is no fight at all.
Left and Congress. By the way, lastly. Samajwadi Party has unilaterally announced its tickets.
Okay.
Samajwadi Party has unilaterally announced its tickets.
Mohan Kumar Mangalam, that point about rumblings Shehzad is making is a valid one. Yes, go ahead.
Jayant Patil. I'm on Jayant
Patil. Rumblings all. Okay, can I go ahead now? Because my time went because of the unstable internet connection.
Vedant, I should be allowed to speak.
Yes, Susi Bensha, I'm coming to you. Mohan Kumar Mangalam, quick response.
I'll make a very quick point, which is there are states in our country that are overwhelmingly presidential where the chief minister candidate carries a lot of weight in terms of getting votes. Maharashtra is not one of them. Because Maharashtra in itself is actually multiple states when it goes to election. The way the Vidarbha region will vote will be entirely different than some other region in Maharashtra. And therefore, there is actually no one single leader who has that kind of dominance over the entire state. I think as an alliance, we recognize that. And therefore, as my...
let's not talk over each other, Shehzad. You made your point.
That I can talk. Shehzad, belated happy birthday, my friend. Can I get a word in before you start talking?
Yes, Mangalam, go ahead.
That's all I'm asking.
Shehzad, you made your point.
That's my point in summation, which is that this isn't a largely presidential state. So now we'll yield the floor to my friend, Shehzad.
Okay. Susi Bensha, go ahead. You had a point to make. Susi Bensha on the screen, please. Yes, go ahead.
You see, I would just like to say this, that as far as the CM-ship is concerned, yes, Congress, there are various regions in Maharashtra, but there can only be one CM. So, Eknath Rao Ji Shinde, the entire Mahayuti. Then let us understand this. Let us understand this very clearly. Unless and until there is one leader who pulls all the parties together, the momentum doesn't set. You will see how Uddhav Thackeray, Anish was very gallant to say that he was talking about peace and progress and how CM-ship is not very important. I hope the UPT hears him loud and clear. It was at the instance of Uddhav Thackeray that he went to Delhi, made a speech in a joint party meeting that how he should be made the CM. So therefore, let us not fool ourselves. There is public spat, there is public bickering. as far as the Aghadi Bigadi is concerned. Okay. Mahayuti, yes, there one can line. Be discussions. Okay. We are three parties. We are three parties, very strong parties. We discuss amongst ourselves.
Okay.
Because each of the parties has a right to grow.
Neerja ji, quickly, just I think that line. Is a fair point that Susi Ben Shah is making. Similar to what happened in Haryana, perhaps, though of course it would be wrong to draw parallels and perhaps it would be a false equivalence, but similar to what happened in Haryana, that you have one completely strong ground false. Leader sort of uniting the party, and that didn't work as far as the Congress is concerned. And also one thing that sort of analysts point out, that the Mahavikas Aghadi perhaps doesn't have as much of a compelling narrative against the Mahayuti. Would you agree with that?
I think, you know, if they were depending on sympathy which worked for them in big time in the Lok Sabha election, then that would be a mistake. I think there are lessons being learned from the Haryana defeat of the Congress.
Mm.
And one of the lessons is that the Dalits cannot be taken for granted.
Yes.
Mm. The old lineup has been the Maratha, the Muslim, and the Mahars and the Buddhists, you know, the Dalit chunk. Now, as far as the narrative goes, it's an attack on the misgovernance of the Mahayuti. Now, how much of this will actually work in their favor? But certainly, I think the lessons from Haryana are being learned. And that is, you know, whether the Congress is learning those lessons.
Yes.
That certainly Shiv Sena and Mr. Sharad Pawar, Uddhav Thackeray, they have a very good chemistry.
Yes.
So they even on seats, they are not going to rock the boat.
Mm.
Two here, one here,
yes.
And so on.
And I think that point you
made, Samajwadi Party.
Yes, and the point you made, Neerja ji, about
the Congress going to be, that remains to be seen.
Yes, absolutely. And the point you made about the SC vote being more assertive than ever before, I think that's a very important point, but I'm afraid that's all the time that we have on Maharashtra. As we shift the focus now to the other battleground state, well, Jharkhand also goes to polls. It's a multi-phase election in Jharkhand, like last time. But what a fascinating battle this time it is, as far as Jharkhand is concerned. The first battle after the arrest and consequent bail for Hemant Soren. And of course, the Soren split saga that has really dominated the political discourse. In fact, the BJP has just come out with its first candidates list for Jharkhand. And there's a mega tribal outreach. There are three Sorens in the list as well. So that's extremely interesting there. And let me introduce my panel this evening. But before that, let me go across to Prabhakar. Joining us live, Prabhakar has covered Jharkhand for years now, perhaps decades. Prabhakar, what's your assessment of the BJP's first Jharkhand list, a mega tribal outreach certainly, and also, you know, for a national audience and perhaps political analysts, what's extremely interesting is that there are three Sorens in the list.
Yeah, exactly. And the tribal outreach has been achieved by this list. But more on the expected line, you have opposition now actually gunning for BJP and blaming them for giving tickets to the family members of the BJP bigwigs. Here you have Champai Soren and his son both getting ticket, BJP ticket. You have daughter-in-law of the former Chief Minister Raghuwar Das. So the huge long list actually which has been put out on X by JMM, and this would certainly be a new political brickbat battle which would be played. And this entire list has given enough opposition ammunition to JMM, to Congress actually, to hit upon BJP, blaming them of giving out tickets to the family members of the big V's of the BJP's out there. Now, talking about the tribal outreach, certainly that has been an area of concern for BJP, because if you see the Lok Sabha results, they have traditionally not been doing well in the tribal dominated area. You have three former chief ministers now in the state actually running the BJP show over there. So all three of them have been a former chief minister. So BJP has a number of tribal faces, but they haven't declared any as a chief minister candidate. Whereas if you see the opposition, you have already established face as Hemant Soren, and The opposition seems more united as far as this entire coalition is concerned. Yeah.
Absolutely, Prabhakar. I think that's a very succinct analysis of the BJP's first list there. Well ahead of time, many would say. But let me quickly introduce our panel this evening. Dr. Tanush Khatri, spokesperson of JMM, is with us. Shehzad Poonawala of the BJP continues to be with us. And so does Neeraj Chaudhary, a senior journalist. Going across to you first, Dr. Tanush Khatri, how do you see the BJP's first list? On expected lines, many would say, but pretty interesting there, three Sorens in the list and a big tribal outreach.
जी बिल्कुल. देखिए, भारतीय जनता पार्टी जो लगातार दूसरे दलों को और दूसरे दलों पर परिवारवाद का आरोप लगाते रहती है, आज जब लिस्ट जारी करती है, वो भी पहली लिस्ट, वो पूरी तरह से परिवारवाद से ग्रसित है. चाहे वो रघुवर दास जी के घर से परिवारवाद की बात हो, चाहे जो दूसरे दलों से नेताओं को लेकर के आए हैं उनके घरों से टिकट देने की बात हो
जी.
तो लगातार भारतीय जनता पार्टी, जिसके पास ना झारखंड के अंदर में हेमंत सोरेन जी का मुकाबला करने के लिए ना कोई नेता है, ना कोई नीति है और ना कोई नियत है, और अब तो उनके पास प्रत्याशी भी नहीं है. सबसे महत्वपूर्ण बात और सबसे मजेदार बात कि झारखंड में चुनाव हो रहे हैं, इनके पास कोई चीफ मिनिस्टर का चेहरा नहीं है. अब ये अगर इनसे ये सवाल पूछेंगे तो बोलेंगे कि नरेंद्र मोदी जी हमारा चेहरा है, कमल का फूल हमारा चेहरा है.
ओके, सो ये दैट्स एन इंटरेस्टिंग पॉइंट. शहजाद पूनावाला, कम इन ऑन दिस, बिकॉज दैट इज अ वैलिड पॉइंट दैट द जेएमएम स्पोक्सपर्सन इज मेकिंग. बिकॉज व्हेन आई एम लुकिंग एट द लिस्ट, यू हैव ऑफ कोर्स रघुबर दास's डॉटर इन लॉ, यू हैव अर्जुन मुंडा's वाइफ, यू ऑफ कोर्स हैव चंपाई सोरेन एंड हिज टू सन्स. Is this also not in a sense perpetuating, something that you attack the opposition for on a national level, politics of dynasty or nepotism? Shehzad, go ahead.
I would be obliged if I can be allowed to speak as I heard him patiently
as always,
without interruption.
As always, Shehzad. Yes.
So first of all, JMM preaching to others about Parivarwad is like Osama preaching about world peace. JMM took 6 members of one family in their executive committee. Today, last time I was on your show, ironically, it was on the DMK Parivarwad, and that time also Vedant had explained to you that if your son wants to enter media or your son even wants to enter NDTV, can we stop it? No. But if you say that after me, 9 PM will be anchored by Vedant Junior, and then Vedant Junior Junior will anchor, then that is Parivarwad. Shibbu Soren, Shibbu ke baad, Hemant Soren, Hemant Soren, his son, that is Parivarwad. One post is reserved for entirety. Secondly, as far as chief ministership is concerned, where BJP is not in power, the tradition has always been that we always go for the election in collective leadership and then the MLAs come and decide where we are not in power. But having said that, I want to ask 2 or 3 questions. One, this is the statement of RJD today, when unilaterally JMM Congress said 70 seats we will contest, rest of the seats are for RJD and left and other parties. RJD says, disappointed over the assembly seats, we are keeping all our options open. They are unable to keep family together. They are unable to keep alliance together. They are unable to keep any of their promises. What happened to the 5,000, 7,000 unemployment allowance? What happened to the kitchen allowance? How many women got it? What happened to 5 lakh jobs? What happened to the financial assistance to widows? What happened to 51,000 to girls? What happened to the farm loan reversal up to 2 lakh? How many farmers got it? You gave land scam, Jal Jeevan scam, mining scam, irrigation scam. Minister after minister is in jail. Alamgir Alam is in jail. तो भ्रष्टाचार करने वाले दूसरों को पाठ पढ़ा रहे हैं. लास्ट पॉइंट, झारखंड हाई कोर्ट से लास्ट पॉइंट, दिस स्टेट वाज क्रिएटेड फॉर ट्राइबल आइडेंटिटी. द मेन थिंग वाज दैट ट्राइबल आइडेंटिटी शुड बी देयर प्रोटेक्टेड. दे अलाउड द इन्फिल्ट्रेटर्स बिटवीन 2004 to 2014 टू डू लैंड जिहाद एंड डेमोग्राफी. द हाई कोर्ट सेड दिस इज रैपिड.
सो आई कम टू द पॉइंट ऑफ ट्राइबल आइडेंटिटी, बिकॉज दैट्स सर्टेनली अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट पॉइंट व्हेन इट कम्स टू झारखंड. ऑफ कोर्स आई really don't know what land jihad means, because there's no real definition of that. But okay, Shehzad, that's not the point. But Tanush Khatri, jo Shehzad Poonawala keh rahe hain ki kahin na kahin corruption ek bahut bada mudda ban gaya hai Jharkhand ke election mein, aapke khud ke jo mukhyamantri hain wo bail par bahar hain.
Nahi, main aapke madhyam se puri ki puri Bharatiya Janata Party ko kaan khol karke sunne ko kahunga. Isliye kahunga ki jisne 5 महीने तक झूठे आरोपों में एक ट्राइबल चीफ मिनिस्टर को जेल में बंद किया और कोर्ट ने जब उसकी सुनवाई हुई तो ये कहा कि ईडी के पास कोई पर्याप्त सबूत नहीं है कौन देगा 5 महीने वापस एक ट्राइबल चीफ मिनिस्टर के?
ठीक है,
झारखंड की जनता देगी, 5 साल देगी, 5 महीना आपने छीनने का काम किया था, झारखंड की जनता 5 साल देने जा रही है, एक और 5 साल देने जा रही है। और ये 5 प्रण लेकर आए थे, इनका 5 प्रण क्या है झारखंड के अंदर में? दूसरे दलों से नेताओं को लाना, शामिल कराना, दूसरे दलों से लाना, मधु कोड़ा को उनको अपने दल में शामिल करवा लिया। भ्रष्टाचार का तो उसको गिनीज वर्ल्ड के रिकॉर्ड में बुक में दर्ज कराने की बात करते थे। जवाब है मधु कोड़ा जी के बारे में।
ओके शहजाद, क्विक 20-second रिस्पॉन्स, आई विल गेट नीरजा। या Go ahead, Shehzad.
Neerja ji, one of the most senior political analysts, reporter, journalist is sitting. When was the first time GMM as an entire party got convicted? They did not get saza because the entire scandal was such that they had voted in parliament for exchange of cash. So you could not have penalty on it. But GMM bribery scandal took place much before Modi came to power. So who assaulted the tribals at that time? And Alamgir Alam is still in jail.
Yes.
I mean, look at their confidence. They are in alliance with Lalu Prasad's party. And they are saying that we are against corruption. I mean, have you seen such people? Valmiki tribal stand took place in Karnataka. Have they opened their mouth?
Okay.
Siddaramaiah grabbed lands of Dalits and tribals. Did they open their mouth?
Okay. Neerjaji, this is perhaps a big battle for the tribal vote, and as has always been as far as Jharkhand is concerned. But interesting, because the BJP's perception also has shifted, you know, in the past 5 years, many would say, that, you know, with the PGTV scheme and many other such central schemes, the BJP has also tried to position itself as not just a party of the backward castes, but also the tribals. But Hemant Soren, let's not deny, continues to be perhaps one of the tallest leaders of the tribals. Who has the tribals' trust? Perhaps that's a big question as far as this election is concerned.
Well, that is the million-dollar question. You know, where does the tribal vote go? Does it get polarized on tribal versus non-tribal? The BJP wants to make inroads or win back or win over the tribal vote. And certainly, Hemant Soren had sympathy of the tribals because he was put in jail. But does that sympathy remain intact now that he's out? You know, as I said, in Maharashtra, sympathy for NCP and Uddhav Thackeray's Shiv Sena because the BJP broke their parties. But does it remain, does it manifest itself for the second time? Does it remain intact in the case of Jharkhand? As far as Parivarvad is concerned, I sometimes think the people of India are not so exercised about Parivarvad
as you and I are.
And people should be exercised, because I feel otherwise our democracy is going to be limited to 500 families. But Parivars are back with a vengeance. Take Jammu and Kashmir. Family is back. So anyway, there are other issues that agitate people much more, obviously. And I think we will see also corruption is an issue in Jharkhand. And certainly social welfareism is an issue, things that are being offered to people. And from day one, Jharkhand has been seen as a tucker between the two sides.
Yes.
It's not a walkover on either side.
As is Maharashtra, I think that's what makes Jharkhand interesting as well.
Yes. That's correct.
Yes, Shehzad, quickly, you know, on the sympathy factor that might work for the GMM, that might work for Hemant Soren, because the perception is that the central agencies were used to put an innocent tribal leader behind bars.
If there's any sympathy, it's only for Mr. Champai Soren, who did absolutely nothing wrong, but he was humiliated by the first family of GMM. And a poor man who comes from very humble origin was humiliated. And I think the people of Santhal Pargana are watching that, how Champai Soren was humiliated. As far as tribals is concerned, this alliance could not even respect Draupadi Murmuji. When her first address was there, they boycotted. JMM also boycotted Draupadi Murmuji's first address. We gave the historic decision of making a Beti of Adivasi the president of India, and their people, Ajay Kumar was in charge of JMM. He was in charge of Jharkhand. He was in charge of Jharkhand. Please don't interrupt. Please don't interrupt. Vedant, please allow me to complete my point.
Tanushkatri, I'm coming to you. Shehzad, quickly wrap your point. Yes. Tanuji, I'm coming to you. Nobody will be able to hear like this. Yes. Shehzad, go ahead. 10 seconds. Complete your point. Tanuji, I'm coming to you.
How do I make a point? He's interrupting.
Okay.
Can I make my point now?
Yes, go ahead.
Ajoy Kumar was the in charge of Congress in Jharkhand. He said that Draupadi Murmu had an evil mindset. Adhir Ranjan said, Rashtrapatni. Okay. I want JMN stand categorically on this statement.
Okay, Dr. Tanush Khatri, you have to respond. And also, the Champai Soren factor, how big can it be for JMN? तनुष खत्री बोल
जब देश के अंदर में महामहिम का चुनाव हो रहा था, देश के राष्ट्रपति का पद का चुनाव हो रहा था, तो झारखंड मुक्ति मोर्चा के केंद्रीय अध्यक्ष आदरणीय शिबू सोरेन जी ने पत्र जारी करके सभी विधायकों और सांसदों को यह निर्देशित किया था कि द्रौपदी मुर्मू जी के पक्ष में मतदान करना है। क्या बात करते हैं ये लोग, इनको तो पता ही नहीं है कि चंपई सोरेन जी संथाल से नहीं, कोल्हान से आते हैं।
अरे मैंने कब बोला वो वहां जाते हैं, बोलो संथाल पंद्रह नहीं कर रहा है।
ऑल राइट, आई एम फीलिंग दैट
पंद्रह बोलिए, मैंने कब बोला था
इट्स अ बैटल फॉर आइडेंटिटी दैट्स एट दैट्स यू नो रियली एट द सेंटर ऑफ दिस एंटायर पोल डिस्कोर्स, यू हैव टू बी विद देयर विद
कंप्लीटली।
दिस इज अ शॉर्ट ब्रेक नाउ, बट न्यूज़ कंटिन्यूज ऑन द अदर साइड। Welcome back. You're with Left, Right and Center. I'm Vedant Agarwal. Well, yet another year and our right to breathe has been violated. 10 years of Delhi's killer pollution and no lessons have been learned. Well, as we speak, Delhi's air quality has slipped into the poor category and even the very poor category in some parts of the capital region. The capital is choking, but netas continue to shamefully bicker. Where does the buck stop? And NDTV is focusing on this issue, not just this year. We've put the focus on Delhi's killer year for the past decade. The micro pollutant and its concentration has reached to levels that are almost 8 to 10 times the safe limit set by the World Health Organization. Breathing capital air right now is almost like smoking 6 to 8 cigarettes a day. And breath by breath, it is killing you. And last-minute pollution efforts have only failed the national capital. Delhi's apocalypse is back yet again, and our right to breathe is yet again up in the air. Let me introduce our panel this evening. Bhavreen Kandhari, environmentalist and perhaps one of the most articulate voices on air pollution, is with us. Also with me, Sharanjeet Kaur, Program Officer, CSC. Her expertise is in the areas of climate change and air pollution, urban heat. Also Sunil Daya, Founder and Lead Analyst in Environalytics. Also with me, Bhavesh Sharma, Senior Program Manager, WRI India. Thanks all very much for being with us. Bhavreen, let me go across to you first. We've been discussing this for years now, but these last-ditch efforts bear no fruit. I mean, we cannot emphasize it enough as to how much we need round-the-year attention as far as air pollution is concerned, and not just, you know, last-minute knee-jerk emergency measures.
Absolutely, Vedant, and thank you for, you know, continuing to speak about this. It needs to be loud and clear. Yes, we definitely need a broad, a long-term plan and not ad hocism, which is quite evident and clear, you know, every time we come to these months and then you start seeing these gadgets show up like smoke guns and, you know, water sprinkling, etc., which is also all to do with construction dust, and that I've been repeating is a PM 10 and not yes. PM 2.5, which is right now the issue. So, you know, solving this issue is, you know, purely it requires the government to actually rethink their approach now, not in terms of, air pollution is too wide, but there is so much, you know, that needs to be done. Like you said, throughout the year, the approach has to be segregated in areas like, you know, whether it's clean energy or it's waste management, it's agricultural policy, or it's urban mobility policies. I mean, you cannot be cutting 5 trees an hour. You cannot be, 99% of the infrastructure that's being, made, construction, etc., or on the roads, etc., in Delhi NCR is for the 8% people who own cars. So, you know, those kind of decisions, you know, there is no emission tax, there's no congestion tax, there is no, low emission zones. So far, I mean, you're saying a decade, it's probably more than a decade.
More than a decade,
You know, we have the brains, the people, we had the CAQM Act, which grants the necessary powers, but we've seen it's not being utilized.
Yes. And I think the point you made earlier, Bhavreen, about PM 2.5 and PM 10, that's extremely important as well, because PM 2.5 is this cancer-causing micropollutant. That's a real problem. In fact, if you can have that graphic up on how all the pollution solutions have failed and money has gone down the drain, because that is really the focus right now. Whether you look at smog guns or smog towers, which A, don't solve the problem. They do not reduce emissions. They do not target pollution at the source level. In fact, look at that graphic. Whether it's smog towers, anti-smog guns, biodecomposers, these are all solutions that will not solve the problem. These are just fantastical measures that come up, you know, at the last moment. Bhavya Sharma, would you agree with that? And is there a complete lack of understanding when it comes to what will really solve or clean up the air as far as Delhi is concerned?
Thanks, Vedant. Thanks for having me here. I would say that, you know, some of the measures that have been taken, like smog towers, they are, you know, they are not at all effective. There have been reports, studies by IIT Bombay, or, you know, DPCC also submitted one report to NGT wherein smog towers were said to be ineffective beyond a certain limit. So certainly we need to focus on more long-term strategies where, you know, we work directly at the sources rather towards the knee-jerk reactions. Because, you know, like Bhavreen also mentioned, that, you know, we have waste burning happening across the city. And Delhi is, it's a unique place wherein, you know, the air shed level approach needs to be taken, because the air pollution is not only affected by the local sources, but it is also, I mean, it comes from outside of Delhi, especially the NCR region, or even the whole Indo-Gangetic plain is plagued by air pollution. So certainly the measures that needs to be taken are to be, you know, long-term and effective at source contribution.
I think that's a critical point there. Targeting pollution at the source level, which is what experts have been emphasizing time and again, but our government just doesn't seem to understand. Sunil Dahiya, come in on this point. The point that Bhavreen was making earlier, CAQM has the power to punish violators. That's something that the Supreme Court has also talked about time and again, but we just don't see that happening. Now is a time when this thing has to become almost a people's movement, and which is what Bhavreen and her team has been doing as well. But we need to sort of all come together and demand solutions round the year. And as somebody, you know, who analyzes data as far as pollution is concerned, why does it not convert to policy, you know, policy level solutions as far as pollution is concerned?
Thanks, Vedant, and I would agree with both Bhavya and Bhavreen in terms of saying that, one, we need to take emission load reduction approach at the source, and second, we need to take those actions in the larger area. And that's where the answer to the question you asked lies in these two things, that it is not that we don't have policies in place. There are policies in place.
Yes.
It is where it stops is the political will of the administrators as well as the political leaders in terms of really curbing those pollution. Now, we all know that stubble burning has just started. It will go on for next 3 weeks, and all of us, all the politicians and everybody will try to capture the narrative and only feed the narrative that it is the stubble burning. But if you look at Delhi over last few days, it is not stubble burning. It hasn't peaked yet. The wind is not coming from Haryana and Punjab direction. It's coming from UP.
Yes.
And that's where the point which Bhavya made, that we need to look at the larger air shed. We need to reduce pollution at source. And this is where we are missing. All our policies till now, be it the Clean Air Action Plan at the city level or the National Clean Air Action Plan, none of it talks about emission load reduction across any of those sectors.
Absolutely.
Which are contributing, or at the geographical level. What we have right
which
now
is... Which is why even measures like artificial rain will not work, because they
it will never
they will
work.
Not
any,
reduce emission.
Any band-aid solution which just tries to suck the pollution from air or try to suppress it with the water will not work. The moment, it will only work if you keep continuing it for the entire winter, and that's not going to be possible.
Precisely.
The moment you stop it, the new air parcel with the same pollution load from the larger geographies as well as the local pollution will ensure that we reach those hazardous levels again.
Yes, and that point you made about political will, I think that's an important one as well, because it was nothing short of shameful, and let me say this on record, nothing short of shameful what we saw yesterday when the environment minister of the national capital was talking about, sort of blaming it on the BJP. The BJP was blaming it on, it was Manoj Tiwari, if I remember correctly, who was blaming it on the Aam Aadmi Party. I mean, it's shameful, this kind of political bickering, because it's about the life of our kids. And Bhavreen, there have been so many reports which talk about how air pollution is linked to antibiotic resistance, air pollution is related to cancer. You know, it's really killing us, and that's how grave the situation is. So do you see this as an activist? Do you see the lack of political will?
Absolutely, Vedant. I mean, what you said is so correct. And I don't know why even politicians like this, who have the least amount of knowledge, are being allowed to speak about this.
Yes.
Why are they not experts and, the people who have professional skills, technical skills to come and discuss this? Isn't it too much time has gone by? We've seen failures in forms of every year, like you said, smog towers. One year the headline was decomposers. Another year the headline is cloud seeding. So it's not only about that there is a kind of a PR or a headline, thing going on, they're trying to portray something. We are losing on time. Our children are breathing that toxicity, that poison, and the citizens are suffering. And we are the ones that we're going to live 12 years shorter, which has been a recent study by QLI. So is that acceptable? I mean, I'm sure the politician, this is the capital of the country, and where our honorable prime minister lives, and all these politicians are here. So this should not be acceptable.
Absolutely.
All this time that's being wasted, all the public money that's going down the drain, and our children's lungs, I think everything is at stake. And
yes. And that's perhaps how urgent the issue is. And Bhavya Sharma coming on this.
It's a crisis.
Yes. Yeah. It's a crisis, a medical emergency, as many have pointed out. Bhavya Sharma, the point Bhavreen made about stakeholders, that's an important one as well, because the Supreme Court has said that CAQM has almost become like the sort of place for retired bureaucrats to sort of come and not do anything. But we don't have stakeholders and real experts on this panel, and that's so important.
See, there have been a couple of reports in past also which mentioned that, clearly mentions that what are the sources of air pollution that are coming to Delhi, whether it's local or, from outside.
Hmm.
So certainly we have some knowledge of sources, I would say. Then it's another matter is, one is metallurgy. Certainly at this time, winter sets in, and then suddenly there's a sudden drop in temperature. And, from last 1 week, we have, less wind movement also, which actually contributed, the stagnation or less dispersions of sources of air pollution also. So certainly we need to take actions that are, not just remedial in nature, but have an impact on ground, because we have been seeing this trend that, whenever the air pollution rises, then suddenly it's in the news.
Yeah.
But, during summertime or, in March, when the weather is pretty nice, when you don't have, the temperature low, no one talks about it. Very few people. So the action needs to be taken all around the year. It's not just one time measure that we take.
Absolutely. And Sunil Daya, the last word to you. The government has not woken up from its apathy, its slumber, and it hasn't in the past 10 years or more. What can we do as people, as, right-thinking citizens, perhaps, to save ourselves, save our children from the killer air?
Vedant, it is the people will have to take action. And when I say the action has to be at both level. One, asking the governments the tough questions all around the year, and asking them to act. It's been more than 2 decades right now. The other thing which we as people can also do is there is so much of public money which has been spent on multiple programs under in the name of cleaning air pollution. And all that money has either created a lot of data centers, databases, or some kind of tools such as decision support system, early air pollution forecasting, and all those things. the CPCB has all the data, all the point sources. They know where the wind is coming from. They know who's polluting how much. And CAQM has access to all that data.
Absolutely.
CAQM has access to
and I think the point you made earlier
data.
Is so,
so
important
people,
that people have to come together and ask the government
people need
tough
to
questions.
Ask this question of where is this money going? What are you doing with all these tools
and
all this
and
data?
And where does the buck stop? Where does the buck really stop when it comes to the entire pollution issue? It's an annual crisis now. And absolutely shameful how the government has taken no accountability. Thanks all very much for being with us. I'm afraid we're running out of time. Left, right, and center. Thanks so much for watching. Good night.